This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد يقول الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها إن ذلك على الله يسير يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ضرر ولا ضرار صدق الله العظيم وصدق نبيه الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable ulama, respected elders and brothers, as we know that certain parts of our countries have already entered into the third wave of COVID-19. And the president's address is imminent. As they say, the family meeting has been called up by the president. So in the background of that, in the backdrop of that, I thought we have our own family meeting today as a community. And try to understand the aspect of COVID-19 in the light of Quran and Sunnah. So in my talk today, I'm going to speak about the aspect of contagion, and then we'll speak about precaution, and then if time permits, we'll look at some general remarks in this regard, inshallah. Looking at the aspect of contagion, the hadith in Bukhari, لا عدوى ولا طيرة ولا هامة ولا صفر وفر من المجذوم كما تفر من الأسد. In this hadith, the Nabi of Allah starts off by saying, La adwa, there is no contagion. Wala tiyara, there is no bad omen. Wala hamma, and there's no omen associated with the hooting of the owl. Wala safar, and there is no bad omen associated with the month of safar. Wafirra min al-majdhumi kama tafirru min al-asad. In the latter part of the hadith, the Prophet of Allah says, But run away from the leper, just as you would run away from the lion, to protect yourself. So the ulama say there seems to be an outward, apparent contradiction that in the beginning of the hadith, the Prophet of Allah says there's no contagion. But in the latter part of the hadith, the Prophet of Allah is saying take precaution and run away from the leper as you would run away from the lion. So this is one hadith in Bukhari, an authentic narration. But there's many other narrations that speaks about the spreading of a virus and also speaks about the negation of contagion, and there are narrations that speaks about taking precaution. So the ulama mentioned the rule of thumb is you never look at one hadith in isolation. If there are several ahadith, then you have to put all the texts in front of you and then draw a holistic conclusion. So if you look at all the hadith that speaks about negation of contagion, and then all the hadith that speaks about precaution, there are narrations that say that don't mix the diseased camel with the healthy ones. And then there's a narration that mentions that a group of people came to Madinatul Munawwara from Thaqif, and in there was a man who had leprosy. So the Nabi of Allah did not stretch his hands out for the bay'ah. He sent somebody and he said to them, "Inna qad bay'anaka farji'a." That we have accepted your allegiance, you may return. So there are narrations that speaks about taking precaution. And then there are narrations that speaks about the negation of contagion. The ulama in the end say that we have to understand the context in a holistic setup. So, the first thing that the ulama mentioned is that this hadith was said when the Arabs were very accustomed to superstition and all types of myths. So, in order to rectify their aqidah and in order to rectify their belief, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam negated contagion. And I'll explain this. The people of Arabia, they had weird practices. The hadith I quoted to you, they would associate omens to various things. And they would take crucial decisions based on these practices. For example, if a person wanted to undertake a journey, he would pull out, he had two types of arrows. On the one arrow it was written, Naam, yes, you must go ahead. And then you had the other types of arrows that were written, La, you mustn't undertake the journey. So whenever they had a crucial decision to take, they would go to these arrows and they would say, Naam, yes, I must go for the journey. And if the arrow came out, La, they would desist, even though it was an important journey to undertake. Another practice of theirs was that they would associate bad omens to the month of Safar, bad luck. Mustn't get married in the month of Safar, mustn't buy, you mustn't do things. So they had these weird practices. So the Nabi of Allah was addressing the Arab society that nothing intrinsically has the capability to create effect without the permission and the will of Allah. So the Nabi of Allah in essence is saying that when there's no contagion, he means that no disease can be transmitted from one carrier to another carrier except through the permission and the will of Allah. The apparent reason can be there, but that apparent reason can only be effective if the will of Allah is there. That's what the hadith means. I'll give you a simple example. The quality of fire is to burn. But Allah also has the full control of withdrawing that. When they catapulted Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam into the fire, what happened? Ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. And this is what the hadith is saying. That don't believe that fire burns. You must say that fire has the quality to burn if the order of Allah is there. That is what the hadith means. Likewise, the quality of water is to drown. Yunus alayhi salatu was salam was swallowed. وَإِنَّ يُونُسَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِذْ أَبَقَ إِلَى الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ فَسَاهَمَ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُدْحَمِينَ فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ. The whale swallowed Yunus alayhi salatu was salam. Logically, it tells you the man is gone. But he survived. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the day has full control of every aspect of our life. The knife did not kill Ismail alayhi salam. The fire did not burn Ibrahim alayhi salam. The whale did not devour Yunus alayhi salatu was salam. The point is, the apparent cause can only take effect when the permission of Allah is there. That is the negation in the hadith, to teach the people that don't associate apparent reasons as the sole cause of disease and sicknesses spreading. Allah is the one in control. So yes, when coming in contact, a virus can spread from one carrier to another, but only when the permission of Allah is there. Only when the permission of Allah is there. That is your yaqeen that you need to keep. You must take your precaution, but your reliance is solely in Allah. Solely in Allah. I'll give you a simpler example. When a person is sick, you go to the doctor. The doctor prescribes and proscribes. He tells you you mustn't do this, and he tells you you must do this. We take the medication not with this conviction that medication gives me shifa. We take the medication with the conviction that Allah puts shifa in the medication. And if the shifa is not there, I will not be cured. How many times you've seen that two people go with the same sickness to the same doctor, the diagnosis exactly the same, the medication exactly the same, but in one person it works, in another person it doesn't work. So do we blame the medicine? Do we blame the doctor? We say Allah did not put cure in that medicine. So to rectify our aqidah, to rectify our belief system, the hadith says, don't attribute it to apparent causes, attribute it to Allah. And this is unique. I'll tell you from my own personal experience. In my family, when few members contracted COVID, my wife also picked it up. But initially, I did not pick it up. 4 months later, I picked it up. But I was in the same space with her, in the same living quarter, eating together, nursing her, close contact, with the precaution, of course. I did not pick it up. My wife picked it up. So this virus behaves also in a very unique and strange way. Even the doctors are puzzled. At the end of the day, you have to submit that when the permission of Allah is there, it will transmit. When the permission of Allah is not there, it will not transmit. So now it leads us to the next question. If everything happens by the permission of Allah, then why must we take precaution? Why must we take precaution? And the hadith also speaks about this. That adopting precaution is not contrary to putting your reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A sahabi came and he said, O Nabi of Allah, أَعْقِلُهَا وَأَتَوَكَّلْ أَوْ أُطْلِقُهَا وَأَتَوَكَّلْ. The hadith that has become very famous on our tongue in this recent few months, tie the camel. So the sahabi came and he asked the Nabi of Allah, should I tie the camel and then put my trust in Allah? Or should I put my trust in Allah and let it loose? And this is where the balance comes. What we need to learn in this whole scenario is the balance. The balance. The Nabi of Allah said, اِعْقِلْهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ. First tie the camel and then put your trust in Allah. And then, so adopt, this is the balance the hadith is teaching us. That ultimately, if that camel is going to get stolen, it's going to happen whether the camel is tied or not tied. But that doesn't mean we must abandon the means. Is that the meaning of it? The Nabi of Allah could have replied, you know, my sahabi, at the end of the day, if Allah wants, that camel is going to go, whether you tie it or not tie it. That's not the response he gave. He said, tie the camel and then put your trust in Allah. And then put your trust in Allah. And the narrations I quoted earlier, that a delegation of Thaqif came to Medina and they wanted to pledge their support and allegiance to the Nabi of Allah. But within them, there was a companion who had leprosy. The Nabi of Allah said, Inna qad bayanaka farja. We have accepted your allegiance. We fully understand. You may now return. Is he going against the tawakkul? The ulama mentioned such an amazing thing. They say when Maryam alayha as-salatu was-salam was in her final stages of a pregnancy, Allah said to her, وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ. O Maryam, take the branch of this tree and shake it towards your side. Allah will throw some dates towards you. The ulama said if Allah wanted, Allah could have allowed the dates to drop right in her lap. What was the need for her to shake it? The ulama say to teach us that even here you have to adopt the means and then put your reliance in Allah. So she shook it and the dates fell, which was nourishing for her. So this is the balance we need to have. We must always avoid extremism in life. Because the bulk of the ummah cannot run on extremism. It has to be moderate. It has to be a balanced approach in life. We have to avoid extremism when we talk about precaution also. And we have to avoid extremism when we're talking about tawakkul in Allah also. Because the Nabi of Allah did what was the balanced approach in life. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We have made you a moderate and a balanced ummah. It's a different matter. That when we talk about precaution, the advice is always changing. And there's nothing wrong if there's inconsistency. Because the advice will change based on the research. Even the doctors will tell you, this is a novel coronavirus. We don't have all the answers. Initially they told you must go into 14 days quarantine. Then they said 10 days. And if you came into close contact in the initial days, when the first group came from Italy, there was panic everywhere. Everybody was helter-skelter. A doctor came into contact, the next day he would send messages to all the patients that were in the surgery then, that day, you must isolate 14 days. Now they changed the medical advice. Monitor your symptoms. If you are showing symptoms, then have yourself tested. If not, it's not necessary. So the medical advice will change from time to time. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need to just draw the balance. We can't go to the point of extremism, even when we talk about precaution. The mask in certain countries, mandatory. Certain country, recommended. Certain country have adopted approach, if you are vaccinated, you're fine. You can have intimate contact with the next person, you can shake hands, not a problem. Some countries take very strict measures. In Australia, currently they're in lockdown. If they detect one case, the entire county goes into lockdown. They can manage. We will not manage. So the advice will change from area to area, from group to group, and based on the circumstances and the dynamics of the group, the advice will change. Now, we can all sit and become experts and point out the inconsistency. But at the end of the day, you need to ask yourself, how much you are willing to adopt that precaution? If you feel that much is fine, then alhamdulillah. But we don't have to force that onto the next person. If he feels that this is, many people don't wear masks. But they say, Maulana, I don't go to parties, I don't go to dawahs, that's my precaution. Others say, no, I wear mask. Both are taking precaution, but in their own way. What we are saying at the end of the day is draw the balance. Draw the balance. In all other aspects of life, we draw the balance. Why are we not showing the balance here also? When we get sick, we go to the doctor. Why don't we sit at home and say, no, Allah is a shafi. Allah is going to give me shifa. You know, the one guy came to the Quran, Maulana, make dua, Allah gives me a child, man, please. So Maulana said, I'll make dua. How long are you married? No, I'm still going to get married. Allah can do with means, without means, and against means. But the sunnah of Allah is that Allah has placed in this world cause and effect. That cause and effect is run by the permission of Allah. So in a nutshell, as we wrap up today's discussion, the hadith, when it's making a negation, it's rectifying our aqidah. That yes, the apparent cause, through the apparent cause, a person can get sick if the permission and the will of Allah is there. But if the permission and the will of Allah is not there, the person will not get sick. And the second message is, you must follow your own precaution according to what your doctor tells you, and accordingly you must, inshallah, approach matters. When we talk about precautions, brothers, you know, I've spoken to so many doctors and they say, Maulana, we together with the convention medicine, we're even telling our patients, continue with the sunnah medicine, Qustul Hind, black seed oil. Hey, people are making a lot of money with black seed oil. Ya Rabbi, salli, 170 rand for a small bottle. Ya Allah, no shy. 170 rand, which is sold for 70, 80 rand on a normal day. Anyways, Qustul Hind, black seed oil, senna leaves, all this is from the hadith. Precaution is there. The Nabi of Allah showed us so many remedies. It's a discussion on its own. Eat 7 ajwas and inshallah you will not be affected. What is all this? This is drawing the balance. Balance. At the end of the day, we take our precaution. But our reliance is not in our precaution. Our reliance is in Allah. And together with precaution, we cannot abandon the spirituality. We have to continue with salah. We have to continue with Quran. We have to continue with dhikr. We have to continue with dua. That is very critical when we are adopting the means. We will go to the doctor, we will take the medicine, but we'll also turn to Allah. We cannot abandon the masajid. We must come to the masjid. Take whatever precaution you need to take, but you must come to the house of Allah. إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ Our nourishment is connected to our spirituality. We must adopt the spirituality also. In closing, one two general remarks. If you're not comfortable with certain advice, you are more than welcome to follow another scholar or another doctor for that matter. But don't cause fitna in your family and in the community. Because fitna is far worse than killing. Wal fitnatu ashaddu min al qatl. The Quran says to create unnecessary panic and unnecessary fitna in a community is far worse than killing a person. Because when you kill a person, matter is over. But this is the ongoing puck. It has destroyed families. Do you know that? Father and son going to two different masjids. It's not nice. It's not in good taste. We're going into the third wave. The president will speak, and then the messages will start again. And then the debates will start again. And all the discussions will start again. Do yourself a favor. Pull yourself out of all those debates. All those debates. And you find one scholar that you are comfortable in following. Whatever advice he gives you, you have confidence in him, follow him. But don't go creating fitna. You know, fitna mongers, don't become that. Don't be that guy. People have lost loved ones because of advice and debates around them. And people have taken a 360 turn, previously totally in denial and now totally on the other side. We don't want both extremes. We want balance. Balance. Al-adl, al-adl, al-tawassud, al-tawassud, al-qasd, al-qasd. Saddidu wa qaribu, saddidu wa qaribu. That is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, balance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. May Allah grant those people whom we've lost Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the highest stages. And the last point I'll end off with is, if there's somebody sick in the family, it's our duty to nurse them. We must take the precaution, but we must nurse them. That is a khidmah. It's so sad, I'll tell you. Families, when they confide, the father passes away, the family don't want to give ghusl. That is sad. That is sad. That's your father. That's your jannat. Your grandmother is 80, 82. You don't want to go close to her. At a time of their life when they need you the most. I'm not saying become reckless. Adopt your means, but you must nurse them. If they pass away, you must give them the ghusl. That is the minimum that we can do for them. How many people are sitting with regret? They did not go see their loved ones because of the fear. And how many of them are sitting with regret because they did not give the final ghusl? It's too late when they are already buried, isn't it? So let's do the balance. Let's not create fitna in the ummah. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ